because it's between the bosoms and your business. Between the bosoms and the business.
I don't think Sarah Dillon. I don't think you can say that. Try it. Say it. See if we get sued.
Why do you gotta be like that?
That's just the cocaine talking, Sarah. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
You're on cocaine?
Yes. Yes, I am. Bags of cocaine. I'm not on cocaine. I'm not nearly interesting enough. If I was on cocaine, I'd be a lot more interesting, I think. Here's the thing. I do believe. Now, I'm just speculating here. Let me tell you this. There's no chemical solution to a spiritual problem, kids. I think if I was on cocaine, I think I'd be a lot more focused, though, don't you think? You think I would focus in with laser-like precision?
No.
Let's discuss now. What would the Rick Emerson Show be like if I were coked out of my brain? Discuss.
I think we've seen you on 2 Visos and, like, 5 cups of coffee. That's probably it.
I'm sure that's exactly the association he wants with his product. It's 503-7... Who needs to be on cocaine? I've seen you after consuming Viso. VisoBev.com. Have you seen that new energy drink that's called cocaine?
I've seen Lindsay Lohan actually carrying it around. In pictures.
How do you do that? I hate you. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And we have Ed McCarthy coming up at some point. This whole day, I'm not saying it's been a bad show. I think this show's been pretty amazing so far. It's been a great show. But except for the guy calling going, why is Rick trying to be a news guy? Why are they trying to inform the public? Is this one of those days where now, remember I was saying early in the 11 o'clock hour how at the top of the show I was saying that all day today I've been thinking that today is Thursday because I am gone on Friday. I am not going to be here on Friday. I will be there in the Seattle, having my hair situation.
Your hair put on.
Yes, my hair. Having my hair. There's no way to describe it though without making it sound like a lesser procedure. But the medical hair restoration thing is on Friday. So tomorrow is my last day for this week. So I keep thinking today is Thursday. Blah 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 blah. Well, now I keep thinking that it's either 2 o'clock or noon, and it's neither of those. It's the 1 o'clock hour. But I don't know what the hell I'm doing because we had this goddamn plane crash in New York City, and so the whole thing is it's all chaos. So, no, the answer to your question, Sarah, is no, I'm not going to say that on the air. Although I think you can. That's the thing is, I think you can say that word. Because it's...
No, because everyone knows what it means.
But what does it mean? It's an area between two things. It's between your area in front and your area in the back. It's between the two. It's not either one. It's between the two.
I think that if you can call somebody something and it makes somebody else laugh, then you probably can't say it on the air.
That's like saying if you live between a crack house and a brothel, but you yourself are a convent, that you are a house of ill repute. That is not true. Simply living between two bad things. Just because you're in a bad neighborhood, Sarah, doesn't mean you're in a bad house. You know what I'm saying?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
All right. We'll revisit the subject of that word later. 503-733-2970. Just a minute or so, we'll be rejoined by Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. In the meantime, shall we take a trip to the South? And I mean that figuratively. I mean that in terms of Ed McCarthy, ladies and gentlemen. Joining us now from CNN Radio in Atlanta, Ed McCarthy, how are you, sir?
I'm good. I was watching the coverage of the plane in New York.
We talked to Gary Baumgartner. That guy was cool, calm, collected. I think by that time, we sort of figured out that it was, a terrible accident, but it was just an accident and terrorism or anything. But even so, man, it's got to take so much to rattle New Yorkers at this point. They have just got to have themselves so buttoned up all the time.
So, they are. They're amazing. They go through this every day of their lives in New York, you know? So, I mean, as we do, too. I mean, everywhere where we are, we still always wonder, what's going to happen. And, of course, I got a call from my 85-year-old mother. She said, plane just hit a, and I go, oh, boy, So it's, everybody is, interested in this. And the good news is apparently, it's sad that this happened. But,
relatively speaking, though. From what we anticipated, from what you sort of, your gut fear is when you first hear the story.
Oh, I know. It's terrible. It just gets to you. And it's true. And apparently they're saying now that a mayday came from the pilot of the plane before the plane crashed. So that's what we're hearing. But it's just unbelievable. You are right.
It's just the rattle. And even we were just talking about this before we picked up your call. It just rattles you. I mean, and I'm not complaining about it. We're here to talk about breaking news and to talk about story. And people can think that we're not really serious broadcasters in the traditional sense. But, I mean, yeah, when something like this happens, we talk about it. It rattles you. It kind of freaks you. It gets under your skin a little bit, even once it's resolved, because you have that moment of you know, just that moment of flashing back. And anyway, all this, I'm not dwelling on it. Real quickly, I do want to ask you a question. You're talking about this voting thing, and I want to ask you that because it is something that I really wonder about. But Tim Riley, our news director, has handed me this. We've got this now. This is from Atlanta. Did you read this? A man who robbed a bank in Atlanta on Tuesday is wishing he had waited to eat lunch. Atlanta police say the suspect robbed a Wachovia Bank, something?
Wachovia, yeah, that's right.
On Peachtree Street in Buckhead. Where is that?
That is an area that is kind of like a trendy area with a lot of nightclubs, and it's kind of like the Atlanta. It's like, because nobody goes to the downtown part of Atlanta. They all go to Buckhead.
So here's the thing. So he robs. Normally we eschew sort of dumb criminal stories, but this one is right in your neck of the woods. He robs the bank, walks two blocks away, has lunch.
It is unusual that we find him so close. I don't know what he was thinking, and he's probably surprised to see us there.
Yeah, so there you go. So there's a problem working itself out.
They get hungry too, you know.
Felons got to eat too.
Criminals have to eat. How about the guys that break in the houses and they end up making a meal inside the house?
The best ones are when you hear the guy, it's like they break into the house and they decide to just take a long snooze in the Craftmatic. Those are my favorite. Let's talk for a second. This is a thing that I care about because I am a political junkie. Lisa Goddard and I had actually just sort of talked a little bit about this a few weeks ago. The people who are displaced from New Orleans, who are still technically and legally speaking New Orleans residents, how many of them are still like living not at their own home right now, do you suppose?
Oh, about 100,000.
So how are those people vote?
Absentee.
And is that where they got to send them to another state? Do they got to track all these people? I mean, does the state even know where all these people are?
Well, they can get absentee ballots, and they have this group that's going around, and, you know, it's all these cities, and, you know, it's a big information campaign. You know, they kind of had a little bit of a practice run for this thing with the mayoral election in New Orleans. So now, you know, they're getting them, and they can just about a day before, they can actually get that thing in, and their vote's going to count.
My question is, and this is a thing that I actually don't know the answer to, can homeless people vote?
That's a darn good question. You have to, you know, now they got this big thing in Georgia, you know, with voter ID, and that was struck down by a judge and all of this. You have to show, some form of ID. I'm sure they could if they had an identification, you know, but I mean, you know, I don't know how, you know, what are you going to do for a street address?
I don't know. These are the things I think about. There's little vague gray areas that sort of intrigue me. So, all right. And you'll be happy to know, by the way, my wife and I have ruled out New Orleans as one of our possible Christmas destinations. We are going to avoid New Orleans for at least the next the couple of years. And we'll let things sort of
give it another year or so. They're really working hard, but you know, we'll see what happens.
Hey, I can't let you go without playing you the best soundbite. We played this for Lisa earlier. This is George W. Bush speaking this morning live in the whatever it is, the Rose Garden area there, about the budget. Listen to the date that he says the fiscal year ends on.
Release the budget numbers for fiscal 2006. These budget numbers are not just estimates. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.
There you go. February the 30th.
Yes. Only 28 there.
It's a news day. It's George W. Bush Day. That's the name of that day from now on. The February 30th is National George W. Bush Day, my friend.
He probably thought it was a double leap year.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Ed McCarthy, my friend, thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon, brother.
You bet. Take care, Doc.
Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta. You know, whatever else happens today, however frazzled or fractured this program may be, it's all worth it for that soundbite and for Scotty spelling emoticon emoticon.
I found a spelling test for Scotty.
Now, does it say?
Does it grade you? It's either or. So it's grades 4 through 8.
Well, that's all we'll need.
And there are 50 and there are 50 questions, and it's commonly misspelled words that 4th graders through 8th graders get confused about. Fantastic. So we can click the button. to pick the correct one and at the end tell his results.
So here's the, so again, one of those other things we didn't get to because this is business in New York. So we'll Tim Riley will step back in here in just a moment. We'll continue the Ministry of Truth. But I so Scotty was here at the 11 o'clock hour. I don't know how we got onto this. It's because he was typing something on the screen, and I said, I couldn't tell that you were being sarcastic. You got to use an emoticon. To which Scotty responded, what's that, followed by, and I said, look it up. And he came back with, I don't know how to spell emoticon. And that really did highlight, it brought into stark relief something that we have talked about many times, which is Scotty's rather elastic approach to spelling words in the English language. So we're going to try to ascertain what grade level Scotty actually reads and spells at. And then we will... And then we'll endeavor to give some Star Wars tickets away, Scotty J. Spelling Bee style. So if you've got perhaps a 12-year-old around the house, a child who maybe is, you know, slow enough that maybe he's not in school today, you want to put him up against Scotty J. for Star Wars tickets. We'll do that here in just a few. And we're waiting for Tim Riley to gather some more news. We will be back with that in a moment. In the meantime, in between time, let's talk to Jim. Jim, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How you doing, buddy?
What's up, brother?
It's called a tween.
A what?
Tween.
What is? Oh, that's... Well, that's what I'm saying. See, this is... That's my thing. It's... I believe that.
All right. Welcome to my world, bud.
Thank you, sir. Tween. Like a tweeners. Like you're born between the one demographic and the other.
Sure.
It's between.
Uh-huh.
It is. This is my favorite ceremony when you just kind of go, mm-hmm. Yep. Yes. Did you ever see that movie, The Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers, that horror film? Chud?
Chud?
Chud.
No, but, I'm friends with Chud on MySpace.
Are you friends with Chud in real life?
No. Should I be?
You spend a lot of time with Chud?
What does Chud mean?
Chud, it's cannibalistic. It's a movie. It is an acronym. Cannibalistic Humanoid. I'm not screwing with you. Fat Boy would back me up on this. Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. They are mutants, cannibal mutants who live underground, I think, in the sewer systems of New York. It's been a long time since I've seen it. There's also a sci-fi website named for that movie. Cannibalistic Humanoid Underground Dwellers. Chud. So I was wondering if you and... But you are friends with Chud on MySpace. That's a person named Chud.
Yes, except I don't know who it is, but they're from my hometown.
Really?
And they're friends with all of my friends. So I don't know.
Do your friends like Chud?
They seem to. They're friends with him, too.
Okay. How often do you see Chud?
Only occasionally. Just when I'm, like, flipping by my friend's page.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Okay, let's reload Bank A here. We have some...
All right, reloading Bank A.
The first responders to the New York plane crash say an emergency call was made by the pilot before the crash, indicating a possible fuel problem. This after a small aircraft crashed into a high-rise building in Manhattan earlier this afternoon. One of the eyewitnesses on the ground say people were running in all directions.
We tried to get out the front entrance of our building, but they wouldn't let us because I guess someone had passed away that they found right away, NYPD. So they made us go right out the back of the back of our building, and then so I still have another dog up there that I can't grab.
So that she did or did not?
She says she did.
All right.
This witness says there was plenty of debris falling.
If you saw the way the flames were going up in the building, I mean, it was at least 10 apartments affected, at least, that were just going up in flames, and you could hear people screaming in the apartments. That was the scariest part. And then I guess debris probably caused some casualties because the plane parts were just flying everywhere on the street.
That, I never thought about that, actually. Yeah. I mean, that's the thing, I guess the thing with 9/11 that I never really stopped to consider for a long time is that, you know, like with 9/11, of course, a lot bigger, there's a huge plane, and... At the end of it all, plane's gone. It had to go somewhere, and I guess it goes, you know, so much of that goes into the building. I guess that's the fuel it gets inside the building, too. Do we know, did the plane disintegrate on impact? Do we know this?
We don't know that yet.
Okay, so I guess maybe, it seems like those are pretty solidly, I mean, it would have to be. A high-rise pretty solidly built. And a Cessna, I mean, even though that's it's, you know, metal and steel and all that, it seems like it wouldn't all just stand up inside. And it looked like the structure of those windows we were looking at.
The window frames were knocked out.
They were?
A couple of them were.
All right. So, well, I guess we'll find out more about it. All right.
The witnesses say people ran away from the scene.
I mean, people were running in all directions because at first it wasn't so bad, but I guess like 5 minutes afterwards is when the parts of the building started flying off and then like coming down onto the streets.
She also saw parts of the aircraft.
I had no clue. I thought maybe like a gas fire or something. But then when you saw the parts of the planes and stuff like that coming out and falling down onto the thing, it made a tree go up on fire. And then from the tree sticking out is like a wing right now.
I mean, I guess the only good news, I just got to be creepy looking. The only good news about this whole thing, I mean, it's good news in the sense it wasn't terrorism. But I mean, the New Yorkers, I mean, they, a horrible thing to say, but they've probably been prepping for this day, for this moment ever since 9/11 happened. So they are just completely Johnny on the spot with that. You saw that they just, I mean, they just unloaded everybody there. I mean, the terrorism, the fire department, the police, the medic, they were all there on the spot immediately.
Governor Pataki made this statement.
There was no prior intelligence indicating any type of threat of this nature, and there's no information that links this to a deliberate act. I don't think anyone can say with absolute certainty what the cause was at this point.
All right, so there you go. So the there's no reason to believe that there's any sort of nefarious intent behind this. And they said that NORAD had scrambled some jets and whatever, but it didn't look like this. This is an isolated accident.
It appeared that the pilot was desperately trying to get back to the airport and land safely.
All right. Aaron, by the way, says that Sarah should not be friends with Chud. Does she not know that Chud enjoys luring young and supple women into their dens and then... I'm just going to move on. It's a whole other thing about cannibalism and eating your spine. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay, so let's take a break from all this New York stuff and go to Florida and see what's going on.
Oh. Yeah! That's right! Bam!
A 45-year-old mobile home park owner was shot and killed in Orange County, Florida, after he asked a group of men to stop firing their weapons into the air in the trailer park.
Well, they did stop firing their weapons into the air above them anyway.
They did. Investigators said Louis Griffin walked over to a gathering of men at the Griffin Mobile Home Park, it was named after him, and asked them to stop firing their weapons. He wasn't doing anything wrong, a witness who wishes to remain anonymous said. They were shooting randomly, and they told him to stop shooting, and this is ridiculous. So then they did. They pointed the gun at him and shot him.
You let the Wookiee win at chess. Let the men fire their guns in the air.
That's that.
All right, there you go. Ethan says, hey, I'd like to volunteer my fourth grade daughter for the Scotty J. Spelling Bee. You just let me know. All right, Ethan, we just keep her in reserve. My friend, we may take you up on that offer. Let me see. We've got Jesse. Jesse, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, what's happening?
What's up?
So you would be extremely not focused if you did cocaine and did the show.
Now it wouldn't make me. I thought that what it is sort of it honed your attention on something.
Oh no, not at all. It you talk a lot more, which probably wouldn't be good for you.
I don't really know that that's even possible at this point. What?
No. So it's a great social drug, or it's a bad drug.
Now you shouldn't do it. No, it's wrong though. We're not telling, especially our young people, treat your body as the temple of Jesus.
For the evil heathens that do it,
yes,
it's great in social environments because you can just talk and talk and talk. But if you ever talk to somebody who's on cocaine, they blabber on about something they think is really, really interesting, but of course it's not, and you have no idea what they're talking about, and you would get the less stuff than you already do.
You're not sure that it would have some sort of, I don't know, like weird opposite day kind of effect, where it's, you know, because it doesn't really seem like I could be less focused and more hyper sometimes.
No, there would be no opposite effect. It would just heighten that part of your personality.
All right, interesting. All right.
You'd be going to the bathroom every 10 minutes to do more.
See, this just sounds kind of like my life now. I just,
yeah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Bingo, that's Jesse. All right, it's Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth.
Well, a hungry bandit robbed a 7-Eleven this morning. The suspect, Thomas Fatty, was milling around the 7-Eleven. Employees said they saw Fatty shoplifting the burritos and confronted him. He threatened the employee, saying he had a weapon. Police say Fatty then threw enough money on the counter for one burrito and took off. Police caught up with him in an alley behind the 7-Eleven and asked him to put his hands in the air. Lieutenant Dave Krakoff of the Salt Lake City Police Department says it's strange he would decide that he needed to have the last part of the burrito before he complied. When he had two officers pointing pistols at him, He was booked into Salt Lake City jail on suspicion of aggravated robbery.
Fatty. That's fantastic. It's 503-733-2970. Here is Tim Riley.
While hip-hop acts may rule today's ringtone charts, yesterday's stars are introducing the format to a broader audience and driving tomorrow's growth. Only about 10% of wireless subscribers buy ringtones today, primarily young adults purchasing hip-hop and R&B themed content. Record labels and wireless operators are keen to expand their market, especially after the dominant format shifts from polyphonic ringtones to master recording clips. Exploiting the vast library of catalog music, they say, is emerging as a key strategy in that effort. Acts like Devo, the B-52s, the Ramones, the Allman Brothers Band, and Jimmy Buffett are generating healthy ringtone sales.
Boy, God, does anything say baby boomer like Jimmy Buffett? I mean, really, I think if you had, if you were going to send a message to aliens describing each of our, I don't know what mine generation would be. There's probably one for every generation. But, man, if you were going to sum up like aging, desperate baby boomer in one musical act, it would be Jimmy Buffett. God bless him. You know, music is music, and there's people who find his tunes inspiring or whatever, what have you. There's just something about that guy. I don't know what it is, man. It's like you can just smell like hair dye and depression all over that guy's songs. I just don't know what that is. And that's why it's so difficult, especially now, because with cell phones where there's such a huge variety of ringtones, it is a fine line, and maybe I'm the only person who worries about this, but I suspect that I am not, because I think Sarah probably does this too, where you walk a fine line where you want to have a ringtone that is kind of cool and that represents your personality, but it can't be like, but we all live in fear of being, what's his name, from The Office, you know what I mean? Of being either Ricky Gervais or Steve Carell, depending. Like, you don't want to be some 50-year-old guy with smoke on the water as your ringtone, Sweet Home Alabama or some crap. You just look like a tool. And so, because your ringtone, your default now is what, 90210?
Yeah, it's the theme to Beverly Hills 90210.
See, that is completely great. You could totally,
It makes me happy every time my phone rings.
It makes you happy, and the thing is, it's not easy. It's not another one of those ringtones that everybody has. Like I have, let's see if I can, I can't, mine's locked at the moment, but I have the Futurama theme, which is great because, you know, because I like it, sums me up, and it's not one of the, it's not cringe-inducing the way some of them are. Let's break here. We'll come back, and because we are playing a little catch-up, we'll come back, we'll do a few more headlines here at the top when we come back, then we have Peter Carlin coming up later on in the 2 o'clock hour, and we got to try to get these Star Wars tickets given away as well. 503, and I got another email about nipplelessness. We'll do that when we get back. 503.
Is it from Davey again?
No, it's not. See, I don't reveal where some of those come from. I don't wish to identify Davey as a man who's got a fascination with nipples. Too late. 503-733. See, you're the one. I try to leave people's names out of it. Okay.
He doesn't care.
Mama sauce.
Oh.
Yeah. 503. The worst part is when he described it as being like the milk at the bottom of a bowl of Frosted Flakes. It's all worth it just to see you shudder. Back after this. Sealed. 503-733-2970.
Well, what did Aaron have to say? Did he say a certain celebrity?
He doesn't name the person. He said, here's what Aaron says. And then we'll go to Tim Riley here, and then we got phone calls. He said, well, let me just read the whole email. Subject line of this email is, fun with fruity cocaine Rick. Let me state now, I wish I could smoke. I know it kills you. I know it smells like ass. But you are very correct. Smoking does sometimes look cool, period. Just deal with it. The best way to deal with smoking is just to flat out say it. Yeah, it looks cool, but you're going to be breathing through a hole in your neck, assuming you make it to 40. That's my thing. You know, the best, can I just tell you this? Because public service announcements for smoking don't really have any effect on most people.
I should really use that sheep commercial for smoking. I bet that would work.
can we just play that on every break from now on? That's the new jingles for Goldfish commercial. If anybody here has seen the movie Dead Again, with Kenneth Branagh, and Andy Garcia. Man, Andy Garcia, that's a guy that chicks probably dig. Chicks probably all about him. He's sort of a better-looking Chaz Palminteri. But Andy Garcia, Dead Again, is a sort of noir thriller with Kenneth Branagh that takes place in...
Andy Garcia, was he the one in Jennifer 8?
How would I conceivably... I have no idea. Jennifer 8 with Meg Tilly?
No.
Who's in Jennifer 8?
Uma Thurman, I think.
Really?
Yeah, she plays the
blind. Is she a blind?
The blind girl.
It's a crime thriller, but she's blind? I have no idea. Andy Garcia was in Things to Do in Denver When You're Dead.
Was he in Ocean's 11? Who am I thinking of? That's him, isn't it?
I don't know!
The guy who was the owner of the casino.
I haven't seen Ocean's 11, not the remake.
Oh.
Tim?
What?
Hello. Okay. Never mind. But in Dead Again, Andy Garcia, it's a noir film, and it takes place, it flashes back and forth between, I think, the 90s and the 50s, 90s and the 40s. And Andy Garcia's got the, because, you know, he's got the great, like, olive skin and the slick black hair, and he's all, like, with the white linen suit, and he's a private detective, and he smokes, and he just looks so cool. The guy just looks like such a badass. But then they flash forward between that and the 90s, where he is literally, like, with the whole, hello, my name is, and he's smoking through the big hole in his neck. And, I mean, that right there, he's enough. Watching that came as close as, not that I smoke, but that came as close as anything to, like, just scaring me straight. Anyway, Aaron says, I've learned that a certain celebrity, and he does say that, I've learned that a certain celebrity likes strawberry cocaine. She often calls herself a mad strawberry, clearly forgetting that street lingo for strawberry is a chick who bangs for smack. Good times. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's take a quick visit to a place where it's always happy. It's the Ministry of Truth with Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A small plane owned by New York Yankee pitcher Corey Lytle crashed into a 50-story condominium tower this afternoon on Manhattan's Upper East Side, raining flaming debris onto the sidewalks below and rattling New Yorkers' nerves. WNBC reports 4 people are dead now. And a member of the New York Yankees organization was aboard that plane. The AP and NBC News identify that person as Lytle. His passport was found below on the street at the crash scene. Police initially said 2 bodies were killed. WNBC reports 2 bodies were found on the ground, one of which was strapped onto an aircraft chair. 2 other bodies were found in the apartment in the building. The Federal Aviation Administration said it's too early to determine what type of aircraft was involved and might have involved the crash. It left New Jersey's Teterboro Airport coming across the Hudson River at 2:20 p.m., about 50 minutes before the crash, according to authorities. And reporter Spencer Rain said many people are trying to catch a look at the building.
It's just catching everyone's eye. There's a lot of relief on the streets that the FBI is confirming that this is not an act of terrorism.
All right.
So once again, it is New York Yankee pitcher Corey Lytle who owned that plane, and they say he was killed in that plane.
And he was
crash.
Was he piloting it, today?
It
or
doesn't say.
Okay, but he was in it at least. It also has, I mean, I'm not saying that it's not true, but it does seem really weird. We hear that they found his passport in the street below, which is
really
we talked
strange.
About a couple weeks ago. That's exactly what they said about the 9/11.
It says that he was the New York Yankees pitcher.
Right, yeah. And it was apparently his plane. And
he's been pronounced dead.
It's unclear about whether he was piloting, I guess. He was in the plane somehow, though.
It says it was being flown by.
Really, by him.
Oh.
So it is weird and creepy, though. Again, we had that virtually the same story about the passport that we had about Muhammad Atta years ago, that found his passport laying on the street below, which is, I don't understand how that can happen twice. The plane explodes.
And for what reason would you need that plane can't fly over the ocean?
Seriously, it's a Cessna. Why would you even have your passport with you? It just, I'm not saying anything other than it just is weird that a plane especially can hit a building, and I'm not trying to be morbid, but everything goes up in a huge fireball, and yet somehow his passport, presumably printed on paper, is found unharmed in the street right in front of the building. It's very strange. I'm saying it's not real, but it is very strange. All right, here's Tim Riley.
In the meantime, NBC's 30 Rock makes its debut tonight. The comedy takes place behind the scenes at a live variety show similar to Saturday Night Live. 30 Rock star James Krakowski says viewers of the show will not confuse it with NBC's SNL-themed drama Studio 60.
They're such two different entities. We are such a comedy, and we are a half an hour. And their show is such a drama, and they're 60 minutes. So
say such
they're
the more.
Very, very different shows in tone. They just coincidentally have to be about the same thing.
There's such different shows. The reviews on 30 Rock have been really good, actually. Except for Tina Fey. Apparently Tina Fey, they were saying she herself is the sort of weak link. But I got to tell you this. I haven't seen this week's Studio 60. But I don't even like to talk about this. But I haven't watched this week's Studio 60. And I actually have still not watched last week's Studio 60. And I can tell you, as dumb and as melodramatic as this sounds, I can tell that I am totally emotionally disconnecting myself from it because I'm anticipating the cancellation.
Me too. I didn't watch this week's, and I'm, yeah.
I almost feel like...
Like, I don't want to because I know it's going to break my heart. I know it's going to hurt me.
I know. That's the thing. I want to break up with it before it breaks up with me. And if they last the whole season... The other thing is, you know...
You can just buy it.
That's the other thing. And you were talking about how you're power loading all the Sex and the City episodes, which is what I'm doing with The Wire, which is an HBO show right now, where I get all the DVDs, and man, I watch like four episodes all night. I get the whole thing done in like a day and a half.
Ever since I got that, there's not a moment that I'm in my room that I'm not watching an episode of Sex and the City. It's so fun to just open the book and just pick out one at random and just watch them all.
And so it seems excruciating to have to wait every week to get like my 144 minutes worth of, worth of Studio 60, which again, because I'm afraid they're going to cancel it anyway. I'll continue to watch Friday Night Lights. That one, I'll go down with the ship on that one. I'll watch that one all the way to the end. But, man, that's Studio 60. We'll talk to Carlin later. I don't think that's long for this world.
Bill Clinton rallying support for Democrats in Pennsylvania. He said there are plenty of close elections. Democrats need help getting their messages out.
You have to help them make the connections. There are still voters out there to be persuaded, still people to be reached. And they're not just Democrats. And they're not just liberals. They're conservatives, they're moderates, they're independents, they're Republicans. They know the wheel has run off. This country doesn't work.
Oh, God. What is it? October something or other? So we're just a few weeks away from that. We're going to get Sneathen on again at some point to talk about this. The Democrats can't, man, if the Democrats cannot make gains this fall, they don't deserve to even be around there for the next election. All right. Speaking of people who are around, by the way, we did have this story I want to recap. We had this guy, Chuck, a while back who had a heart attack. He was in the hospital. His friend Scott says, wanted to let you know that one of the soldiers in the Rick Emerson Army is back on duty after his heart attack. He will be calling you soon, I am sure. Chuck will be there when called upon to promote and defend the Rick Emerson Empire. So there you go. So Chuck apparently has recovered.
Good.
All right, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley. A little bit more news later on. We also got Peter Carlin coming up. Let me get a couple of these, and then we'll bring Scotty Jane to talk about these tickets. Jody, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
How you doing?
What's up, brother?
Yesterday, you're trying to get the number 6.
Oh, right. Yeah, yesterday, thank you for reminding me. Yesterday, we had this story where they did a survey about the 10 female celebrities that they should never have in a Hollywood love scene. And we were giving away Star Wars tickets if somebody could remember, if somebody could guess who number 6 was, and nobody ever did. Do you have a guess, sir?
Yes, Martha Stewart.
No, Martha Stewart is number 8, though.
Damn.
I'm sorry for that. Martha Stewart is number 8. Martha Stewart, again, not physically attractive in any way, but I do find her powerful personality kind of a turn on. But no, she is number 8. But congratulations on getting somebody on the list, sir.
Can I tell you a cool story?
Yes.
Spreading the word, I've listened to you since you were syndicated.
Thank you.
And I spread the word to my kids, to my daughter in particular.
Excellent.
Well, back in the past lives when you had Ron Jeremy on as a guest.
Yes.
Well, she heard that show.
Oh,
and
no.
She went and visited with him.
Oh, now, hold on. How old was she?
19.
Okay, well of age, though, so...
Well of age.
Okay, so she was 19. When you say she went and visited with him, what does that mean?
Well, he was doing a signing after the show.
Right.
And she was doing some deliveries and remembered that he was there, so she popped in and...
I was at that signing, actually, yeah.
Yeah, at that signing, and she had something signed by him.
When you say something, is this something... in front above the waist?
Maybe.
Good Lord. I'm not going to rub salt in the wound because that's got to be horrifying as a father.
Well, it's kind of proud and terrified at the same time.
that's kind of this whole, that's our whole audience so much of the time about everything in their lives. Simultaneously proud and ashamed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, look, if your daughter's got to get a boob signed by somebody, better Ron Jeremy than that she gets it, than that she gets it out on the street. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good point. I'd brag about it if it was someone else, you know.
But here's what I have to know, and forgive me for asking this. What I have to know is, your daughter got her bosom signed by Ron Jeremy. Did she show it to you?
No.
No, but you know it's there, but you did not. She didn't say, like, Dad, look what I got signed.
No.
Because that would just be...
I didn't quite go that far.
No, that would just be one step too far, sir.
Yeah, that'd be one step too far.
All right, that's a great story, my friend. Thank you for spreading the word. We appreciate it. You call us anytime.
No problem. Thanks.
Thank you. There you go. That's Jody. All right. 503-733-2970. Let us now welcome...
Scotty J. This is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Scotty J. Hello, sir.
Afternoon.
All right. So, we gave away a pair of tickets today already, right, to the guy... Why did I do that? There's some guy with
because
a great...
Because he did the Bush...
Oh, because he had Steve. It was Steve.
Stuff,
that's
yeah.
right. I'm saying the whole day is... God, is it 2:20 already? I know
that's
I say this a lot recently, but man, this whole show seems to have taken forever and yet a blink of an eye at the same time. So we gave away a pair, but we still have one more to do because we didn't ever give Mondays away. So we're still a pair behind. All right, so we got a pair of tickets to see the Star Wars exhibit at OMSI, which, by the way, and again, I was talking about this earlier, our good friend John from Couple went there. And he said that you could see it in half an hour. He said he spent 2.5 hours because it was unbelievable. He said it was so great, this OMSI exhibit. And I didn't get to go. I love my wife, but it was date night. And sometimes, don't laugh, you son of a bitch.
I want to know what you guys did on date night. Sit on the couch and eat pizza or what? I mean, did you actually do something?
Is there anything
that sounds like a good date night.
Okay, first of all, is there anything wrong with that?
No, date night to me is more like go out, you know.
Okay, we did go out, but there's nothing wrong with sitting on the couch and having pizza, my friend. That's one of the things that bonds us as a couple, is our love of pizza and our simultaneous weakness for pizza. Now, we went through a quick deviation. This is not a plug. There's no consideration here. We went to a great restaurant, one of our favorite restaurants, a place called Lovely Houlihan's, which is it's just amazing. It's just the fantastic food. We went there, and the chef, a guy named Jesse, came out. And he's like, hey, are you Rick Emerson? I said, yeah. And he goes, oh, I'm a big fan. So the chef there, a guy named Jesse, we've actually eaten there a lot for a year, 2 years now. We didn't know that. And my friend Marty from St. John's works there as well. So I had no idea. And so we went to dinner. And then we just, kind of spent time together, blah, 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 blah. There's nothing wrong with pizza and the couch, though.
No, that's great. I was wondering for a second there if you had, like, a book on restaurants in Portland or something, because you're always saying something new.
I'm a walking
See, I'm on the west side, so I don't know a lot about these restaurants, and they sound good, actually.
I'm on the west side. Is that what you call that over there? That's not really being on the west side. That's just being in Beaverton. Yes, I'm a walking Zagatz. So here's the thing. So we got another pair of Star Wars tickets to give away. Now, you have a sort of loose interpretation of how to spell things in the English language. And so...
Where would you get that?
From the fact that you spelled emoticon and emoticown earlier on. So we have decided, I think the Scotty J Spelling Bee should be our next exciting giveaway. And so, but to do this, we have to figure out exactly, because it would not be fair to have you face off against, like a Sarah or myself or any number of our listeners who, because this is a scientific fact, as Ron Burgundy would say. The talk radio audience is the smartest audience in the world in terms of radio. Every study on Earth shows that the talk radio listeners are wealthier and better educated than other radio listeners. So it would not be fair to have you face off against just some guy. Any of these people? Any of these people on, like, here, let's see. Let me just take whoever this is. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Who is this?
John.
John?
Yes.
All right, how are you, John?
Pretty well.
All right, I'm going to ask you to spell a word here. Spell emoticon, as in the little smiley face you use online.
True.
What?
True.
Okay. I'm confused.
Did I win?
All right, you're back on hold now. Thanks, John. John is back on hold for a while. Okay, maybe that didn't illustrate my point. Maybe Maybe that did not really bring my point into stark relief. What I'm saying, though, is so we need to have you compete against somebody in the audience, but I'm thinking perhaps not just, you know.
Of the 3 or 4 year old age, is that kind of what you're saying?
Well, I didn't say that. But so Sarah has.
I'd say like 12.
Sarah, well, now you have a spelling test for him to take, right?
I do.
Are you a pro speller?
I'm okay. The trophy thing still kind of hurts sometimes.
Yeah, it's like me with restaurant.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. Yeah, you got a problem?
You couldn't spell restaurant?
Spell it.
You spell it.
R-E-S-T-A... Oh, God.
Okay, there you go.
I can write it down. R-E-S-T...
I can write it down.
A-R...
No!
No.
Oh, God.
No!
If I look at it...
Okay, so why don't you... okay. You know what it is? That's...
Okay, it's R-E-S-T-A-U-R-A-N-T.
Okay, but see, you know what
see,
a spelling
is? See, I can write it down, but when you're, yeah, when you're looking into space at the... AM97.
All right, Scotty, well, there are 50 words flyer. Over here. One is the correct spelling, one is not.
So here's what we're going to do, Scotty. We're going to take a break. I'll come back and talk to Peter Carlin. I'll take some of these phone calls in the meantime, in between time. We're going to have you sit over here where Sarah can watch to make sure that you're not Googling the answers, and you're going to be taking the spelling test, which will then grade you at the end. We will deduce what grade you spell at, and then tomorrow we will find somebody to spell off against you for Star Wars tickets.
Gee, that sounds like a lot of fun.
It's all very exciting. Back after this with Peter Carlin, more of your phone calls, and Tim Riley. It's the Rick Emerson Show. You stay right there. Okay, it's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland. Scotty J, currently ensconced behind the personal computer here in the studio, taking his spelling quiz. The only one he's really known so far is subpoena, which is fantastic. Oh, and he knew drunkenness. These are commonly misspelled words. Scotty is taking a spelling quiz right now. We'll have the in a moment, the results of that quiz. Peter Carlin going to be joining us as well. We'll get some phone calls. Ladies and gentlemen, it is that time again at the Ministry of Truth, Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A small plane with New York Yankees pitcher Corey Lindell at the controls crashed into a 15-story condominium tower this afternoon on Manhattan's Upper East Side, killing Lindell and three others and raining flaming debris onto the sidewalk. The FAA shows the single-engine plane was registered to Lindell. The FBI reports show that Lindell's passport was found at the scene. The FBI believes Lindell was the only person aboard the plane, and the three other deaths occurred inside that condo. Now, on Sunday, the day after the Yankees were eliminated from the playoffs, Lindell cleaned out his locker at Yankee Stadium and talked about his interest in flying. He explained to reporters the process of getting a pilot's license and said he intended to fly back to California in several days. And planned to make a few stops. He also discussed the plane crash of JFK Jr. and told how he read the accident report. Lindell acquired from the Philadelphia Phillies in July 30th, told the New York Times last month that his four-seat Cirrus SR-20 was safe. He said, quote, "This whole plane is like a parachute that can be deployed in the event of an emergency. 99% of pilots who go up there never have engine failure, and the 1% that do usually land it.
Oh, God.
But if you're in the air and something goes wrong, all you do is pull that parachute, and the whole plane goes down safely."
Well, it's probably too soon, as the kids say on Ain't It Cool, but, God, I hope we...
That's kind of freaky.
I already sense how this is. Well, the sense I get, and this is only my sense. I don't know anything you all don't know. But the sense I'm getting is not that it was like deliberate. The sense I'm getting is that it was a JFK Jr. thing where he really didn't know how to fly all that well. I don't really know any responsible, respectable, professional pilots who say things like, "Well, all you have to do is push the button and the whole plane lands safely."
Pull the string.
Yeah, a child could do it. That doesn't really seem accurate. So I suspect that this is going to unfold as just some other guy who didn't really know how to fly as well as he thought he did. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, here's more of a cheerful story. A rock singer David Bowie has voiced the character for the children's cartoon series SpongeBob SquarePants.
Fantastic.
Bowie lends his voice to a character called Lord Royal Highness for an episode to be shown next year. "At last, I've hit the holy grail of animation gigs," said the 59-year-old He must be actually be older than
that. There's no way. There's no way.
He looks great on stage, though.
No, he's aging in reverse, or he's bathing in the blood of children or something. There's no way that David Bowie is only 59. Mm. It's not possible.
So, he recorded this just weeks ago.
All right.
SpongeBob SquarePants has been a worldwide hit with children and built up a classic cult among young adults since its 1999 debut on Nickelodeon.
Young adults means stoned college kids, by the way. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, world's greatest newsman at the Ministry of Truth.
Thank
Tim
you Riley. For ending on an up note.
No, thank you. All right, it's 503-733-2970. All right, Scotty J, all right, have you completed the quiz? First of all, are we calling Carlin or is he calling us?
I was going to call him.
All right, well, you have completed the spelling quiz?
I guess. I was going back and double-checking.
Going back and double-checking. Yeah, you missed one, I think. Yeah, okay. All right, Scotty, so you are you prepared to hit submit on the spelling quiz? Now, before you hit it, now where do you think, Sarah, how does this grade you? Does it grade you according to percentage or like a letter grade or a number grade?
I think it shows you which ones you got right and which ones you got wrong.
Okay, so Scotty, how do you feel you did about it? What's your gut on this? Was it 50 questions, 50 spelling questions? How do you feel about it? 45 out of 50 correct?
I'm going to say 21.
I'm guessing 32, right in the middle there.
Okay.
All right, Scotty, please now to be hitting submit.
25.
25?
Oh, my God, that's horrible.
What did you misspell? Don't touch the screen. Sarah, please now to be telling us what Scotty misspelled. What words did Scotty not... 25 out of 50?
And I knew that.
Hold on, but do you understand?
I win, I was closest.
Okay, but you did. That's like a showcase showdown. No, but do you understand the implications of you getting 25 out of 50? That means, by definition, a monkey choosing randomly could have done no worse.
Correct, but...
No, what do you mean, correct, but? You have not outscored a monkey.
Number one.
I should have, as a control group, had an actual monkey in here taking this test.
I was going
to
go back,
read the words?
And a bunch of them that I missed, like broccoli, I changed it at the last minute to the
what
wrong
else did
answer.
He misspell?
I changed it to the wrong answer.
A lot, accommodate.
A lot!
That's because every day in normal use, I put A-L-O-T together, and it's two words. That's the problem, right?
Yes, you misspelled it. That is the problem. You're right. You spelled it wrong.
A bunch of other words that I accidentally changed it from the two L's to one L.
Privilege, embarrassment, cemetery.
But you should see
how did you spell cemetery?
See the words that they put next to each other and they look exactly the same. It's like A R Y.
They don't look exactly the same because they're spelled differently. That's how you can tell them apart.
Or C or whatever.
Okay, let me understand.
I'm normally great at spelling, but
you're not normally great at spelling. Okay, you have to get Peter Carlin on the phone.
It's just today. I will.
Thank you. So we can talk badly about you. Here's the thing.
Oh, Scotty.
Here's how the test was set up. It wasn't like they told you the word out loud and you had to spell it. They would give you two side-by-side spellings. A lot. A-L-O-T or A space L-O-T. And then you checked which one. Each one was an either-or. It was you had the choice of two spellings. He got flat 25 out of 50. He got a straight, flat-out 50%. By definition, if I had a retarded child in here randomly pushing the buttons, they would have gotten at least, they could have done no worse.
And the best thing is he spelled drunkenness wrong.
I don't even know how to grade that. 50%. I'd say, what, 12-year-old? Maybe?
I'd say 12.
12. Okay, so
it's like fifth grade?
12-year-old. All right. So, okay, so there you go.
It's not very funny to make fun of him, though. Because, I mean, that's a serious problem. He's 40 and can't spell.
Yeah, that's, I suppose. I mean, it could be worse. Could be one of us. So, there you go. So tomorrow, we have to find a 12-year-old. Got A's in English. Don't lie. By tomorrow, we have to find a 12-year-old. Unless everybody thinks, let's go quickly just take these calls. We're waiting for Peter Carlin here. Jody? It's not Jody. Who is this? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, who's this, sir?
This is Tim.
Hi, Tim. How you doing?
I want to guess what. Who was number six?
Oh, on the celebrity list. Go ahead.
Yep. Ellen DeGeneres.
No, she's not. Ellen DeGeneres is a hard one to judge because, as a gay woman, she clearly is not styling herself in a fashion. She's not fishing for us.
Well, I just figured
It's the nose on her.
Well, I wouldn't want to bang, so.
Yeah, no, that is true. That is true. She got a bad nose. She got a bad beak. I'll give you that. Ellen, she cleans up pretty well, though, you know. And you see her and Portia de Rossi together. They're a very stylish couple together in their own sort of lesbian way. All right. Let me ask you this. Scotty misspelled fully 50% of the words in this question. What age child do you think we should have to go up against him in the spelling bee?
Sixth grade.
Fifth? Ooh. Sixth? So that's what, like a 12-year-old?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Tim.
Bye. Right,
there you go. Rick Emerson Show. Who is this, please?
This is Josh.
Hi, Josh. How can I help you today?
Actually, this isn't who I called, but I want to throw this out here first. Barbara Walters?
Barbara Walters is number six.
No way!
Congratulations, sir.
You did. Do I win anything?
You do. You win a pair of passes to see Star Wars, Where Science Meets Imagination at OMSI. You also win Return of the Jedi on DVD, sir.
Well, that's all I wanted.
God bless you. Josh, your name is?
Yeah, Barbara. I also did the very first Alana Sounder.
And, listen, so here's the full list. Number one, Star Jones. Number two, this is which female celebrity should never have a Hollywood love scene? Number one, Star Jones. Number two, Sandra Bernhardt. Another one people didn't get. Number three, Joan Rivers. Number four, Oprah. Number five, Kathy Bates. Number six, Barbara Walters with 8%. Number seven, Whoopi Goldberg. Number eight, Martha Stewart. Number nine, Kathy Griffin. I would totally have sex with Kathy Griffin. You know, but the thing is...
Why?
No, because it would be hate sex. It would totally be the grudge sex. Kathy Griffin is hot in a really weird. She's not ugly. Kathy Griffin is not. She's ugly inside. She's not ugly on the outside. I mean, she's not like the best looking woman ever. Kathy Griffin. She's on the list because people just think that she's a bitch. That's why. I would totally have hate sex with Kathy Griffin. Listen, Josh is making sounds of disgust. Number 10, with 2%, Tori Spelling. There you go. Who's pregnant?
Oh, awesome.
Pregnant, by the way.
Ew.
All right, Josh, I'm going to put you on hold. I'm sorry. And go ahead. Now, Scotty missed half of his spelling bee questions. What age child should we put him up against in the spelling bee?
Gosh, I don't know. Fourth or fifth grade, I'd say.
All right, so we're settling on about 12 years old or so.
Yeah, I just did want to say I originally was calling in to try to convince you to let me battle Scotty because I am a horrible speller. I told my boss I was going to try to convince you to let me go against Scotty, and he just laughed at me. That shows you my spelling skills.
All right,
Scotty's not alone.
All right, well, hold on a second. don't go in. Just as like a little control here.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except
you're not going to amount to jack squat.
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
End of message.
Just because he's sort of an ad hoc call out. Okay, Josh, are you there?
Yeah.
Scotty, you right here?
Yes, I need to say something. You know what's really funny about all this? And you can laugh and hoot and holler and think I'm semi-retarded.
I'm not laughing at
you. But I'm only half retarded, according to that test. Anyways, in school and most of the time, English, above all things, is normally one of my better subjects. I can write papers and I can get
thoughts out. Well, it's not one of mine.
As far as these words, when you put accidentally with two L's on the end or one L, and you're staring
now
at
it. Now, when you say English, do you mean like comprehension?
Yeah. I'm not fifth grade level.
No, you're not
way.
A dumb person.
English 121.
No,
I got
an intelligent.
A.
This is not intelligent. No, we're not saying you're not a smart person. This is not intelligence.
Not
this is spelling.
Spelling, which is not very relevant to, you know, what you need to do now, so it's not that big of a deal.
What do
you mean,
math?
Answer the phones? And
I'm saying people can, but look, one of the best, and I won't say who it is, I won't embarrass him, one of the smartest guys I've ever worked with, great, say, he was a salesperson, one of the, you know who I'm talking about? Yeah.
Yeah.
A very, very smart guy, very sharp, very good, could not spell his way out of a sack.
But I normally can. That's why I said 45%.
See, now you're lying. I don't believe that that's true.
That is the one thing
if we say the words out loud and we give you a piece of paper and a pen.
All right.
That's easier than out loud.
Let's do it right now.
Okay.
All right, Scotty.
But it's this one L, I before E thing that's killing me.
Piece of paper and a pen.
Let's try it.
Spell this word. Separate.
Me?
It's the E-R or A-R. That's the problem.
You tell me.
No, that's wrong.
Are you serious?
It's A. Okay, there you go. That's okay. Experiment over.
It's pointless.
Uh huh.
Okay.
All right, Josh, spell separate.
SEPERATE.
God, I weep for the future. No.
I told you I can't spell.
All right, thank you, Josh.
least it would be fair.
Oh, I'm going to put you on hold, by the way, because you won these Star Wars tickets.
Thank you so much.
All right, I'm putting you on hold. Don't go anywhere. Sathu with Jason. Jason, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. I just want to let you know that Ellen DeGeneres has already been in a love scene.
In what movie? Oh, in Mr. Wrong?
I'm not sure. It was actually a lesbian love scene.
Really?
Before she came out as a lesbian.
You know, the thing is, and other people have noted this, it's interesting. You see her with Portia de Rossi, and Portia de Rossi is sort of the dominant one in that relationship, which is, you see sort of the way that, like, I've seen them hug and stuff in person. It's kind of interesting, actually, that Ellen is very much the sort of a woman in the relationship. All right, how else can
if
I help you?
If you want to call her that.
Yes. How else can I help you?
I was also going to mention that, hey, maybe we should pit Scotty J up against somebody else from Mount Hood Community College or some other competing community college, but after hearing him spell, maybe that's not such a good
maybe
idea.
Just represent your school. Hold it down for your hood, Scotty.
How about somebody that was in the Mount Hood spelling bee? Put me up against them. How's that?
Oh, that would be totally embarrassing.
No one is saying that you...
I'm not embarrassed about anything. It is what it is. I guess I got called out on a map.
Thank
today.
You, Jason.
All right, thanks.
Jason. No one is saying that you can't comprehend concepts clear. As you know, look, we would not have retained you if you were not good at what you did.
I'm surprised
saying,
at myself. I really am.
I'm really not.
Spelling,
I'm not trying to knock you, but you've never spelled well at all since you've been here. Your spelling has been poor the whole time. Now, look, I can't do math to save my life. That's my thing. Math, I got nothing. I got no mathematical ability
all right,
at all.
All right, Rick,
zero.
Then I tell you what. Whatever age you pick, so you better be careful as far as whatever age you pick me against.
You're going to do mathletics?
Yes, against that same age.
Oh, no, the kid would school me. I would be hosed in a mathlete contest. No, there's no way.
But it's like that separate thing.
So
you know?
Here's...
I get mixed up on
would you
that.
Like to know... would you like a little trick?
Sure.
Would you like
if I'm learning something, that's great.
Okay, here's... Would you like a little trick to remember how to spell separate? And it's a trick that'll seem silly, and you'll laugh at it. It'll make you feel a little silly, but it'll work.
Is it applicable to other words?
Don't make quote marks with your fingers. Here's how you spell...
Oh, God, he's crazy.
Here's how do you remember to spell... Here's how you remember to spell separate. Okay? Okay.
I was just saying it phonetically in my head.
There was a woman who lived with her husband named Sep. Okay? You following me? There's an old woman. She lives with her husband named Sep. One day, she sees a rat in the house. And she says, Sep, a rat.
Oh, bro.
Okay, now listen to me.
It does work, I guess.
You will never misspell separate again if you remember that story. If you remember the old woman with the husband named Sep, she sees a rat. She says, Sep, a rat. E. You will never misspell separate again. From this day forward, I'm telling you, you laugh. All those mnemonic devices seem stupid. They all work. You will never again misspell separate.
No, that'll
be a teacher.
It's great.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, then, I could not get a hold of Peter. I left a message for him, so...
Damn you, Peter Carlin! Damn you to hell!
We need to just figure out a way to give away tickets today, though.
We just gave away the tickets. You were just here. You were sitting right here.
Oh. You know what? I feel exhausted.
I don't listen so good either.
You were kind of panicking.
I feel tired today. I feel exhausted because, you know, we had this... plane stuff going on. I'm trying to cut stuff for Friday, and I actually had to answer the phones. I mean, and spell. So I just feel tired. That's all.
I'm sorry, Scotty. Do you need a rub down?
No.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. I'll come back. Don't forget, we're here tomorrow, and then Friday, sort of an honorary gymnasium. Friday, I will be gone for medical hair restoration. Tim Savage is going to be here for a couple hours on Friday, and also some best ofs, which Scotty is putting together. With flawlessly, I might add. You were very good at that. You've got many skills. Don't feel bad, Scotty. Many people can't spell. It just takes some time. Well, that's, you know, I'm just saying. It's okay. You'll be able to spell by the time we're done with you. It's my goal now. Everybody's got to have a plan. Back after this, Jimmy Eat World. He said it's Rick Emerson Show. Really? Are you kidding me? Okay. We now enter the saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Don't forget to like us at 3, Donna Mike at 7, Stephanie Miller 6 to 10 tomorrow, and we do a 4-hour show every day now, 11 to 3. But tomorrow. Coming tomorrow, another pair of tickets to the Star Wars Omzi exhibit, and get yourself a copy of Return of the Jedi. coming up in the days to come. We got the House of Midnight tickets going to be given away as well, plus more tickets to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman, which is coming up November 17th. Also, don't forget Tom Likas is coming to town a month from tomorrow, actually. He's going to be here November 2nd. He'll be doing his show from the CBS studios. November 3rd, which is Friday, he'll be doing his show nationwide live from Barracuda downtown. So that is happening November 3rd, Friday. Tom Likas live at Barracuda. Be listening. We're going to be giving away backstage. VIP and all that. So we'll be listening for that. But it's okay. I got to take this. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show. Is this Mr. J Senior?
This is Mr. J speaking. Yes.
This is this really Scotty J's dad?
This is really him.
All right. How can I help you today, Mr. J Senior?
Well, I just wanted to say that Scotty can't even spell his last name, and he's an embarrassment to the family.
Bam! Oh, excellent. I thought this call was going to go a whole different way.
He keeps thinking he's Scotty K, but he's really Scotty J.
Fantastic. Has his spelling always been impaired in this fashion, sir?
For quite a while, yes.
All right. Well, you know, we're trying to help him. You know, you did a fantastic job of raising him. I'll say that. You did a great job. You've raised a fine boy. But we're attempting to, you know, maybe to tweak just a few little things here and there that maybe could be polished a bit. Perhaps his spelling acumen. So we're going to attempt to, you know, to get him back on the road of correct spelling, sir.
That's real good, and I appreciate the help, and his mother will appreciate it, too.
Well, that's what we do, sir. Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, my friend. Thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Scotty J. Sr., there you go. Thank you. Excellent. Well done. Let's now welcome to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is a person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris, joining us now on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, buddy.
Let me just say, you sound so tired. Hey, what about your things that were stolen? Any word?
No. I went through, and as best I can figure, it was a couple of bikes and a bike rack. So, you know, it's not even enough to cover my homeowner's deductible.
Sad. I'm sorry, my friend.
It's not worth it.
Let me say up front that I believe I should be exempt from any and all expectations today because of the tragedy that struck in New York City.
Well, I believe I'll give you some sort of a break on that.
I believe it is unfair to expect me in this time of such a stressful day, time of grief and so forth, that I should not be expected to have gotten to anything.
Yeah, because there's like about 7 things you didn't get to.
That's what I'm saying. No, I mean, I wanted to, but I was just not able to.
Why don't you just go ahead? Oh, you know what? You can be exempt from if you just drop down and do 7 push-ups right now, and then we'll just leave the number the way it is.
I'm saying we ought to leave the number
Rick,
the way it is anyway.
I think it's really tacky that you're using a tragedy to try to get out of your push-ups.
In no way am I doing that. I'm simply noting that we were...
Do your push-ups.
We were trying to be in the news. Fine.
Well, there was 6, not 7. I my mistake. You didn't get the story about Sarah partying like a rock star. Peter Carlin.
I tried.
Didn't get to top 5.
Go.
Self-watch, Darwin watch, or what's happening. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's just sad. He's using his knees.
I'm not using my knees.
I saw the knees.
Screw you.
Oh, and now he's collapsed.
That's 4. Hold on.
Rick, I don't think you want to be rolling around on that floor.
It's brown down here.
It's gross down there. People drop food 6. And then never clean it.
That's 6, you damn woman. All right, 5.
Okay, that's good enough.
All right, there you go. So what are we at now?
Did you do 6 or 7?
I did 6.
Okay, you're still at 49 then.
How is it I'm still at 49? We had a whole hour of the show that was devoted to bringing news to the people as it happened. I believe I ought to be graded on curve.
So you were supposed to do 7, you did 6, you got that one for free.
No, he missed 6. He just did 6.
I didn't have an hour of the show. It was taken away from me.
Okay, so you're at 48 then.
Thank you.
Hey, by the way, a 12-year-old
yes.
is going to be 7th grade. So if you're looking for a 5th grade level, you're looking for a 10-year-old.
Oh.
Well, that and Aaron also said... Aaron said, you know, pleased to be... he said, pleased to be remembering how the grading system works in America. 50% is an F. So there you go. Well, we'll have to. Do you have a 10-year-old by chance, Chris?
I have an 8-year-old and a 12-year-old. Now, Sarah, if you want to send me the link, you've got my email. Send me the link to that test. I'll have my 8-year-old take it. Tell you tomorrow how he did.
Okay. Oh.
Because I know my 12-year-old. He was a district spelling champ. So he's out of Scotty J's league.
This is like in Searching for Bobby Fischer when the kid is just whooping ass in the park on Lawrence Fishburne.
Well, that's when he's not burning down houses or smoking pot in his bedroom.
Well, you know, a little bit of each. You know, your life has got to have facets.
I guess. My 8-year-old, I'll give it to my 8-year-old and we'll see how he does. So send me the link to that test, Sarah.
If only it could be an 8-year-old girl. All right, thank you, Chris.
All right, we'll talk to you tomorrow.
That's Chris, ladies and gentlemen.
That was the creepiest thing you've ever said.
No, I mean for the quiz. No, for the spelling test. I'm saying it's like when I was at that poker game a couple weeks ago and I lost
Got fooled.
I lost to Brad's 11-year-old son, which was bad. But you know what? It was still worse when I lost to Trey's 13-year-old daughter. Because losing to a girl was, you know, she's
that
worse.
That girl's going
to
be a handful.
Oh, totally. Oy. Yeah, that's a bad, bad scene that's going to happen there. Way too smart at 13. Smart, good poker player.
And really cute.
And just like her dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Anywho, Rick Emerson's show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. In the newsroom, it's Tim Riley. Scotty J is our PA and the manager of the Rick Emerson office. East is Dave Zinn. I want to thank CNN radio correspondents Gary Baumgarten in Manhattan, Lisa Goddard, and Ed McCarthy. Like us next. Don't forget, he's coming to town Friday, November 3rd, live at the Barracuda. See y'all tomorrow. Don't let the bastards grind you down. Thank you for listening. Be safe. See y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Released the budget numbers for fiscal 2006. These budget numbers are not just estimates. These are the actual results for the fiscal year that ended February the 30th.